Psalm 90. This is a psalm of Moses. It's the only psalm of the 150 that you'll find written by Moses. This psalm has been historically preached at the end of the year. It's a means of reflecting upon what is important. It was also used by the Church of England during the 19th century as a scripture to be read at funerals. It was combined with 1 Corinthians 15. And so Moses most likely prayed this prayer for Israel nearing the end of his life. You may remember he was brought up to the top of Mount Nebo. And from there, he would have been able to see the hills and the valleys. He would have looked out across the Dead Sea. And we would have seen the land with all of its lush vegetation that would be divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, the land in which he died would be given to the tribe of Reuben. And so as he's sitting there appreciating everything that was promised to the people of God, recognizing that he himself would not be able to be a part of receiving that promise, but would die there shortly, he begins to meditate upon these things. And where his heart moves, where his mind goes towards, is the sovereignty and the justice of God. And so before we read this prayer of Moses, let's ask the Lord for his help in understanding it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word, that you've revealed yourself to us, that we can understand something of your character, your attributes. Even though we see those in the world through your creation, we know that ultimately we cannot come to know you as you've revealed yourself, but through your word. That we can appreciate creation and we can understand something of your beauty and your order and your magnificence, but it is through your revelation that we truly come to know you in a salvific way, that we receive faith. And so, Father, we ask that you would fill us with faith as we read your word, as we sit under its preaching. Father, may it do a work in our hearts that only you can do, that your word would not return void, but that we would be convicted of our sin, that we would be comforted by the gospel, and ultimately, Father, that you would be glorified. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, read with me Psalm chapter 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Again, Moses likely prayed this prayer before the people. It would have been a sign of warning and of encouragement to them as they are listening in and even agreeing with him in his prayer as he's as he's proclaiming it out loud, but clearly he's speaking to God. He's talking to God on behalf of the people. And so they would have received that as, again, both a warning and an encouragement to them. The first 11 verses are meditation, and he doesn't even get to the petitions, his requests. What we oftentimes think of prayer as is coming to the Lord with our requests. He doesn't even get there until verse 12, when he begins to say, teach us, satisfy us, make us glad. Now he's petitioning the Lord, but for 11 verses, he's simply meditating upon God's character, upon who God is. He shows us the right attitude that we're to have when we come to him in prayer before moving to our own requests. And so the first principle we see here before we even get into it is that Moses was a man of prayer. He's an example to us that those who lead God's people should pray for them and should possess the character of a man of God. And not to be perfect, but to be faithful, to be dependent upon God, to do the work that we ourselves cannot do. And so as we analyze the details of this prayer, let us not forget Moses' example. And may each one of us resolve to be people of prayer, to pray for ourselves, to pray for one another, and to include in that prayer meditation upon God and his attributes, as we see this exemplified here. So we'll see really three sections, although some of it will be saved for our afternoon service. We're already down to what typically I only have a few more minutes left in my sermon. So we're going to go over that a little bit. But the first few verses, it speaks of God as our shelter. Verses 3 through 11, God is our judge. And then it closes verses 12 through 17 with God as our help. And so if you want help, then you have to come back this afternoon, because we're not going to get there yet in this morning one. But God is our shelter. Let's look at this verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord is our shelter, our comfort, just as he has been, and he will continue to be in all generations. God always preserves his people. It's not always peaceful. It's not always as we want it to be, but God preserves his people, sometimes through affliction. All right, in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Here's the idea. This is language from Genesis. The idea is that God was before Genesis, before Genesis 1. Remember, this is Moses, the same author of Genesis, is now reflecting in prayer. And so he's reminded of creation. From all eternity, God has been God, the same God. He's unchangeable. And that's in contrast to man, who is frequently changing, who is transient. He has been the God of every generation. And so we existed, or he, God existed, before giving birth to creation. That's the imagery here in verse 2. The mountains were brought forth. That's the same language of bearing a child. You also have it here in the idea of forming the earth. The word formed there is actually to twist and turn as if in labor, experiencing labor pains. And so God is giving this metaphor here of creation in the form of birth, sort of like he's our mother, a nursing mother. It emphasizes God's personal investment and his intimacy in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, we read this: You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forget the God who gave you birth. There's an intimacy there that God wants to, that Moses wants to reflect upon as God created us, as he formed us. He was giving birth to us. God never abandoned the Israelites. When they went out into the wilderness, as Moses experienced firsthand, what did they do? They were filled with grumbling and complaining. Did you bring us out of Egypt, out of slavery, just to die here in the wilderness? They thought God had abandoned them. But in fact, they will die. Those who were brought out of Egypt, along with Moses, would die in the wilderness. But it wasn't because God had abandoned them. It was because God was purifying his people and preparing the next generation to receive the promises that he had given to his people. He had never abandoned them. Listen to Numbers chapter 14. Really, all the way from verses 20 through 33, but we'll just highlight a few of the verses. This is after Moses has prayed and interceded for the people because they have begun to question, right, what God is doing. He had sent the spies into the promised land. The spies came back, and most of them gave a negative report, except Caleb and Joshua. They gave a negative report saying, oh, no, these inhabitants of the land, they're giants. They'll destroy us. They'll squash us. We can't go in there. And so the people, they cry out, what is going on here? How could you bring us out here? And they begin to rebel. And Moses intercedes for them and prays for them. And God says, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and descendants shall possess it. And later on, the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. And of all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, no one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness. Harsh words of judgment for a people who had rejected the promises of God. At least this promise in itself, they had questioned God. And so on average, 15,000 Israelites every year would have died during their 40 years in the wilderness. That works out to 41 funerals every day of their wilderness wandering. And can you imagine their constant state of mourning to be in a community that witnessed so much death and devastation? But again, the Lord had not abandoned them. The same God who had led them out of Egypt in the Exodus had promised them victory, but they didn't believe. They doubted, and they grumbled against him. Ultimately, and we're going to have to close here, it is Christ on the cross who was abandoned by his Father that God might remain your God, even through your own rebellious wandering, even through your own wilderness journeys. Right? If God loves you now, he set that love upon you before creation, knowing full well how fickle you would be, how prone to wandering your heart would be. And he chose you to be his child, and he sent his Son to bear the wrath of God on your behalf. And God continues to fulfill his promises through his Son as he sanctifies you, as he matures you. Do you believe that? Is he your dwelling place? Was he your dwelling place yesterday? Will he be your dwelling place tomorrow? if he was your dwelling place in 2017, we can have full confidence as we enter into this new year that he will remain our dwelling place because God is faithful. He's unchangeable. And as fickle as your own heart is, as difficult as it is for you to even believe this, where you are faithless, God is faithful. And he will accomplish the work that he began. And so let us look to him now.